Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. Let's get into it.
All right. So now we're going to go into investing. That's what we, you know, people always tune into. Shout out to Ian. Market Mondays, number one stock show on YouTube.
A whole vibe.
Shout out to Wall Street Trapper, bro. Shout out to everybody that we had on the show to talk about investing. Shout out to Quentin Martin, the first stock market show that we've ever done. Mm-hmm. That was over a year ago. So we talk about investing a lot, right? But it's just like now we're in a time of being socially conscious. We're in a time of actually, you know, and it doesn't, everybody's not socially conscious, but I'm just saying as far as a lot of people are starting to become socially conscious. So yeah, a lot of people grapple, because we did a show last week, shout out to Mison, about, you know, the prison system.
Yep.
And it's like, you know what I mean, like, I don't feel comfortable investing in companies that's invested in prison, or it's like now it's police brutality. Yeah. And you find out there's a whole financial play behind that.
I think the episode opened the doors, because like a lot of people didn't even realize that. And shout out to Mison, because I see him on the field and he was in Kentucky with the Breonna Taylor case, and now he's in Minnesota with the George Floyd case too. So shout out to Mison, who's doing incredible work.
Shout out to my song for sure. So, all right. One thing that we have not talked about so far on the podcast is socially responsible investing.
SRI.
Yes, socially responsible investing. So this is an interesting conversation because it's actually a really big thing. And it's been around for a very long period of time. But so there are investors, right, that have social hangups about different things, whether it be about the environment, mm-hmm. whether it be about tobacco, mm-hmm. whether it be about gambling, whether it be about
war. War is another one.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Yep.
Prison.
Mm-hmm.
Companies that benefit off of prison.
Health.
Healthcare.
Right. Anybody investing in tobacco, alcohol.
Women. A bunch of different things, yeah, that people, so it's like a lot of times it's like, you know, some people, and I'm not taking a side either way. Some people's like, you know, I'm gonna invest and just get my bread, get my money, and it is what it is. And then some people was like, you know, I kind of want to still invest, make money, I believe in that,
yeah,
but I still have some moral issues.
Your moral compass is going on
that I don't necessarily want to invest in certain companies.
So that's fair.
Yeah, no, I'm, that's like fair. I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
So for that, there are actually funds. There's actually funds. Now, like I said, the financial, when you start to learn about more about everything, there's something, it's like ice cream. There's a different flavor for every single person. Yeah. So there's actually funds, ETFs and mutual funds in place to for socially conscious investors.
Yeah, I had to peel back the layers on this because I was like, what? You texted to me. I'm like, I never heard of it. All right, let's do some research.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, there's a few, like I said. So those are the different topics, like environment, gambling, tobacco, alcohol, prison, social justice, and religion. That's a whole different conversation. We're going to talk about that. But so just to kind of give you a few, there's ESGU. Mm-hmm. ESGU is an ETF, a socially conscious ETF that does not invest in any company that has anything to do with weapons, tobacco, jails, even though they actually did have a private prison in their ETF, and then they found out and it was a mistake and they kicked it off. So it's like, even that, it's like, you know, you find out, you try to get the kosher hot dog.
Yeah,
you
the
find
morality out police.
Like, it was made in a pig slaughtering house. It's like, it's so crazy. But that's an ETF, and that ETF has actually done pretty well. You know, considering, because a lot of times it's the performance of these things aren't as high as other ones. Mm-hmm. But that one has done pretty well. Its 52-week high is $75, and its 52-week low was $40 a month ago. So in March it was $40. Right now it's $68. So it's up pretty nicely in a two month time frame. Another one is SSGA, which is a woman diversity ETF. They like invest in companies that hire a majority women or have women CEOs. It's like, it's focused around women.
Yeah.
There's another one called CRBN, which is a low carbon environmental friendly ETF. Right. So there's a variety. Like, you can just Google socially conscious funds,
yeah,
and like kind of just play around with it in different filters, and you can see, like, you know, what kind of fund you're looking for. Yeah. You know, with the situation.
It's interesting, man. It's interesting because I'm thinking to myself, like, how many investors, right, are not willing to compromise their values to make money? And when I think of investors, I'm like, you know what? I think the moral thing is, like, they just want to make money.
Yeah.
They don't put everything else
aside.
Well,
I think, you know, people, and myself included, you know, I'm not preaching from the choir.
Yeah.
We conveniently get blind.
Right.
Conveniently get blind. Because it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might see something, and it's like, it's not that bad.
Yeah. It's like if you were anti-war, right? And it was like, yeah, Boeing's at $97. Right, but I don't want to invest in any company that has deals with any making machines or any type of thing that could help in the development of weapons of mass destruction or help in war. There goes that morale. It's like, wait, well, this is a good buy, right? This is a good buy at $97. Is it worth it? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think most people are thinking, let's just make money.
Or they just don't really think about it. Not really thinking about it from that standpoint. It's like, yeah, you know, Boeing has government contracts. Are you thinking that maybe that government plane is sending a drone and killing an innocent child in Syria? You're not really looking too far into it. You could. It's available.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot easier
to turn the blind
to
eye.
Just turn a blind.
Yeah, turn the blind.
This is what happens in a variety of different things.
Yeah.
You don't want to see certain things. Like, you're walking down the alley, you see what's going on, and you turn around and you walk the other way.
A lot of times.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
I mean, for your own safety, a lot of times.
And like I said, I'm not here to shame. We're not here to shame anybody.
Nah.
But I'm just saying, we just want to provide some information for some people,
right,
that may want to take a higher level of morality.
Right.
In that standpoint, and may want to take a higher level of weeding out their investments. Just give them options. That's the thing with Earning Leads. We just here to just provide information. Like, a lot of times people don't fully understand that, and they don't even know that's an option.
Exactly. So it's like, there are a lot of people in this, I guess, the quote unquote woke stage, right? So it's like, yo, if you're woke, let it be in all assets of your life, right? Not just in your individual things that you're doing on day to day, but even in your investing. And this is one of those things, like you said, prior to this, I wasn't thinking about it. I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then that brings us to another conversation. We talked to Chelsea again. Shout out to Mike Song. Last week's episode was about the prison system. We didn't fully go into the finances of publicly traded companies.
Mm.
But so there's prison stocks, like private prison companies that are traded on the stock exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So a few of them are CoreCivic, which is CXW, and Geo Group, which is GEO. That's their symbol.
The crazy thing about CoreCivic, and this is crazy that you said that, we didn't even speak about this, but Darrell Freeman, shout out to Darrell Freeman. If you don't know Darrell Freeman, go Google him. I don't tell you his background, but a very successful man in the world of technology. He called me. He said, "Yo, I love that episode." The CEO of CoreCivic is my next door neighbor.
Oh yeah.
He was like, "Yo, it's a big business, and I'm glad y'all talked about it."
He loved my song episode.
Yep, loved it. Sent me the message, and that, I was like, "Wow, that's incredible." He was like, "Yo, it's a big business. It's a city. Literally, you got to think of these prisons, these private prisons, as cities. They need everything that a city needs. And when you look at it like that, it's like, damn, he's right."
Yeah.
And his next door neighbor is the guy who is in charge of that.
Well, there you have it. So, yeah, those are two private prison companies. Now, the crazy thing about those stocks, so it's been, even on that episode, Mysore had said that private prison stocks skyrocketed after Trump got elected. That is true. Both of those companies, I think, went up over 100% in the year following Trump's election. But they've actually been down for the last, like, 3 years, 4 years. Like, their five-year chart is not really impressive, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. I mean,
right.
You know, but just wanted to throw that out there. We have to tell both sides of the story. So as an investment, they're not booming right now,
which is good, which means that there's less people going to prison.
Well, I don't know if there's less people going to prison, but for whatever reason, their stock is just not doing well. There could be a variety of different reasons why their stock isn't doing mm-hmm. well, but the stock has not really performed. But what a lot of people don't fully understand is that a lot of people are invested in, especially CoreCivic, up until last year at the very least, a lot of people are invested in CoreCivic without even knowing it. Because through your 401k,
mm-hmm.
through your IRA, through your pension plan. So Vanguard and BlackRock were the two biggest holders, I think they still are, of private prisons stocks. BlackRock, Vanguard, two of the biggest mutual fund companies. Yes. Everybody loves Vanguard because they have, you know, this is what I'm saying. It's a lot of,
you talk about
it's a lot of right and wrong in yeah. life, right? People love Vanguard because it's like, it's a no load fund and it's pretty much free to invest and it's cheap. And they're the biggest holder of prison stocks, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a lot of 401k accounts. BlackRock has a lot of 401k accounts, right? So CoreCivic, CXW, was in a lot of these, probably still are in a lot of these 401k makeups. Because when you invest in a 401k, nobody knows what they're investing in a 401k. You have probably 401k is like a menu and they give you like 20 different options of how to invest, right? Like 20 different funds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within one fund, there's like 100 different stocks inside of a fund. So if you have like three different funds, you have like 300 different stocks inside of your 401k that you're invested in.
Yeah, you do research on all of them?
Now, I guarantee you nobody knows any of those companies. Nobody knows any of those companies, right? Because you never ask. It's not like just listed as soon as when you find, huh? They just tell you the name of the company. So it'll be like Vanguard 2020 Fund or Vanguard High Interest Bond Fund or Vanguard Small Cap Value Fund, right?
Yeah.
That's the name of the fund. But inside of the Small Cap Value Fund is about 140 different stocks.
Yeah, that's when you get that big pamphlet that comes to your house, like that probably nobody ever goes through.
Yeah,
and there's a bunch of these stocks and you're like, all right, well, did I make money or not? Yeah, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's individually looking into 140 different stocks and then actually researching those stocks to see if they align with their values and moralities. It's just not happening.
No, it's not. But you can't say that you didn't know. Yeah. Now at least, because we told you.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're interested in it, you can do some further research. But yeah. So I just wanted to talk about the prison thing because we did speak about that last week.
Yeah, and there's some other things to know about these SRIs. They tend to have a higher fee than regular funds. And so I was like, well, it doesn't even make sense. Why? Well, the mutual fund has the person who's providing the fund actually has to do more research. So there's more work that the person has to do, right? If they're going to do things that match your core values and your moralities, it's like they have to find ethical things that will work for you. So there's a little bit more research. So the fees tend to be a little bit higher. And there's a site that you can go if you're into social responsible investing. Socialfunds.com is the website. So you can go research on yourself. So that's one thing that you should do. Obviously, do the research and then know your values. A lot of people don't know their own values. So like when they're trying to invest, it's like, well, I believe in this. Know your own values before you're going to go into this type of fund. All right. So do the research. I just gave you the website. And another thing is, a lot of times, and we've said this.
What's the name of the website again?
Socialfunds.com. So you can go there on your own leisure and do some research there. But one of the things that it brought to my mind is like, we talk about diversifying when we're investing, right? But like this type of fund doesn't allow you to do that, right? Because if you're aligning everything with your values, isn't everything kind of going to be the same if you're investing?
No, you can invest in a variety of different companies that don't, that still align with your values. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? It could be different industries. Like, it's just harder, like you said, because it's like, you really got to go through every single fine comb. Because it's like, all right, you're investing in a tech company, but is this tech company providing software for weapons of mass destruction?
Right.
So now it's just so much more intensive research that you have to do, which is the fund manager's job. But you can still invest in a variety. Like, you can invest in tech, you can invest in, you know, farming, you can invest in financial institutions. Like, you can invest in different companies. It's just that those different companies have to be in line with what you feel comfortable with.
I would imagine that these funds are managed by very, very small companies. This is, it feels like a niche thing that, like, very small companies do.
No, actually, Vanguard has.
Well, right. You're right.
Vanguard.
Okay. That's a big one.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But going to what you just said as far as the niche. So, there's different layers of socially responsible funds as well. Like I said, Earn Your Leisure, we just here to provide as much information as we possibly can to every, because there's so many different types of people in this world. So, you got the socially conscious people that don't want to invest in those things. But religion is a huge thing in this world. And now you have religious people who can't or do not want to invest in certain things because of their religion. So now you have funds for that. It's fun for everything. So you have Christian funds, like Guidestone is a Christian fund, and that's dedicated to invest in companies that have core Christian values. Kind of a vague situation, but you know, that's what that's designed for. Okay. You can do some research and kind of figure out.
Okay.
You have Ave Maria, which is a Catholic fund. There's a few Catholic funds. So Ave Maria is Rising Dividend Fund. That's one of their popular funds, and that's a Catholic fund. So, you know, Catholics, they're really big on, like, you know, abortion and a couple other things. That's like real sticklers for the Catholic Church. So they only invest in companies that align with Catholic values.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so just coming off the month of Ramadan, we have a large listenership all over the world. And that includes America, which is their huge Muslim population. There's a huge Muslim population in Africa, huge Muslim population in Europe, of course, the Middle East. So we have to say assalamu alaikum to all of the Muslims that tune in. And one thing about Islam is that that's actually, you know, part of the religion is Sharia law. So people have a misunderstanding a lot of times of what Sharia law is. We're not going to go into a full, but part of it is investing. Like, there's actually guidelines. So it's not really up for, like, vague interpretation. Like, if you really are a hardliner in the religion, there's financial guidelines of how you can invest. So, like, interest is outlawed in Muslim countries.
Okay.
So shout out to Inez, our good friend. She's from Egypt. And I was over her house yesterday, and she was telling me that there's no mortgages in Egypt. No mortgages in Egypt. You just buy the land. So interest is outlawed. You're not allowed to charge anybody interest. That's one thing, right? Okay. Of course, if you're familiar with the religion, you know that, you know, alcohol is outlawed. A variety of different factors. Gambling.
Okay.
There's no gambling. Gambling is outlawed. So in Islam, you have halal and haram. Haram is forbidden. Halal is allowable. That's, like, deemed okay. So now you have...
I got that. I actually looked that up. That was crazy. It's on the Jay Electronica album.
Okay. Yeah. So now you have halal funds. One of the most popular funds is called the Amana Fund. So the Amana Fund is a mutual fund based around Sharia law, which is halal and allows Muslims that if you wanna follow those guidelines, that you can actually invest. And the Amana Fund only invests in halal companies, meaning companies that don't partake in gambling, companies that don't partake in interest-bearing accounts, companies that don't partake in alcohol, a variety of other things as well. So that's something that is a big play as well, because, like I said, I mean, no matter what religion you follow, if you're Jewish, they have kosher funds as well.
Right.
But it's the same thing. Kosher and halal kind of the same thing as far as, like, the meaning of it, where like Jewish people have, like, if you're a strict hardline Jew, you are only really supposed to indulge in kosher. But kosher is more than just food.
Right. I think that's a crazy misconception that people only think it's a food thing.
It's the same thing with halal. Like, you see the halal guys or the halal truck. So most people, when they think about halal, especially like if you live in New York City or like a major, like it's pretty popular halal food. And that is a certain way where the food, the animals, like, are, you know, slaughtered, and you say a prayer and there's certain things. It's the same thing with kosher, but that's only part of it. So like with the kosher, that's only part of it. Like, you know, as far as like the same kind of idea. And like I said, that's true with a variety of different religions, where it's like, you know, depending on what religion you subscribe to, that might, you know, have a play in how you choose to invest.
Yeah.
So those are all things to think about as well.
I know they're listening like, yo, damn, Shaggy sound like a history professor. This dude literally studies religion, like, no joke. And anybody that knows, has ever had a conversation with him, they know, like, he loves talking about religion. Shout out to Val, who always brings it up.
Shout out to Val.
She always talks about how you've taught us so much about the world. But yeah, I know this is one of your sweet points.
You know,
man,
history has been my favorite subject since I was a little kid.
Definitely.
I took a history of religion class when I was in college, and I never studied, never got one book and got an A+, because I just already knew so much about religion and all religions. I'm just fascinated by, you know, I think it's interesting to learn about Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Sikh. I have friends that are all different religions. And, you know, for me personally, I don't think that there's any one religion that is reigns supreme. It's whatever, you know, you feel comfortable with. I'm not here to judge, but I just, you know, I always found religion interesting because I realized how touchy it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like people die over their religion. People will kill you over their religion. And it's like you can't play around. That's why we don't really talk about religion too much.
Yeah, some people don't want to be separated from.
You can't play around with religion. So it's like, it's interesting. It's interesting to me. It's fascinating. So I try to learn as much about religion as I possibly can, because I feel like a lot of times, most of the time, we follow whatever religion we're born into.
Right.
And that's not really a belief system. That's more superstition. When you believe in something that you don't fully understand, it's superstition.
You've been bred to believe that.
Stevie Wonder said that. So now when you have a full understanding of things, not only does it open your perspective and make you more open to the world, but at least even if the thing that you do fully believe in, you can actually believe in it,
right,
as opposed to just doing it because everybody in your family does it, and you feel like you're going to be cursed if you don't do it.
You've done the research on your own. You've allowed yourself to critically think. You've allowed yourself to analyze, and like that's the goal in life, right? Allow yourself and allow others to freely think and freely choose. You know what I'm saying? Like I think that is, as an educator, like that's the number one thing I'm looking for. Can I allow these students to critically think for themselves? And we should have that same mindset when it comes to our family and our children.
That's a fact. So the last thing with the stocks, this is pretty disturbing, and it's all a financial play. So now people might want to invest in black-owned companies. It's like, buy black.
Who are they?
Invest in black. But from an investment standpoint, it's like, what if I want to invest money in the stock market, but I want to invest in black-owned companies?
A lot of people want to do that, right? We buy black. Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to We Buy Black. Those are my people. Good people.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's like a black-owned fund. I couldn't find any. Like a black ETF or a black mutual fund that only has black companies. I couldn't find any.
No. Yeah, no, and maybe there are some. I couldn't find any either, but maybe there are some.
Well, I think the reason why there are none that I could find is that out of 4,000 stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, 12 are black companies. 12. That is so disturbing. That's a whole different conversation. You're talking about economic, and that's what people don't fully understand. It's like black people are so far behind. It's just, it's amazing. It's like running a marathon and you like 23 miles in and you just started the race. And somebody else is 23 miles in. So it's like,
we on a treadmill.
That's not even.
There's a marathon going on. We on a treadmill.
That's not even 1%.
Yeah.
That's less than 1%.
12
out of 4,000 companies are publicly traded.
Yeah.
So we're talking about economic empowerment, and it's like a lot of times it's on a small scale. When you start looking at it from a large scale, as far as like companies and billions of dollars and things of that nature, and like publicly traded companies, there's 12 out of 4,000.
Yeah.
Like diversity.
Yeah. I mean, It's crazy. And during the research, I actually, you know, I was proud to find out that I'm actually invested in one. Well, not invested, but I do business with one at least. And I'm looking at the other ones. I'm like, I don't even know these. So you want to run down a few?
Yeah, I got four that people might know. Citizens, yeah, Bank, with their symbol is CZBS.
Yeah, that's who I actually have my mortgage through. So not that I'm invested in it, but we do business together.
Yeah, Citizens is a black-owned bank.
Yeah.
4-1, like the number 4-1, and that is formerly used to be Urban One, which is a radio. No, it's Urban One. 4-1 is Urban One, and it used to be Radio One.
Okay.
It's a radio syndicate.
No, though.
RLJ, which is a lodging company owned by Robert Johnson, former owner of BET, former owner of the Bobcats.
Yep. First billionaire, first black billionaire.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then Carver Bank, another black-owned bank. There's a few black-owned banks.
Yeah.
Carver Bank,
which is encouraging. Yeah. That we have black-owned banks that are being publicly traded.
That's important.
Yeah.
You want to list a few others?
Well, we have the same one. Right. Yeah.
So not only is it discouraging that there's only 12. Even more so discouraging than that, it's like you look at these charts, looked at all their charts, none of them have good charts. None of them, you look at Ian's technical analysis would be buys as far as if you want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing well. As far as on the stock, their stock has not done well for 5 years. Like you look at the 5-year chart and it's not good.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough to find a lot of these companies have a 10-year chart or a 20, even sometimes it goes back to the history, 30-year chart. A lot of these companies, that doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. It's just, that's something just to, like, as far as working forward to something.
But that's, I mean, a lot of that has to do with a lot of systematic things that were put in place so that it couldn't exist. We don't want to ignore that fact, right? So having our own private-owned company or even having a black-owned bank, systematically in America for years, that wasn't even a possibility. So there are reasons why we don't have a long history of it. So let's not ignore that fact. But like I said, when we go back to the history of some of these companies that we look at, we do look at the 10-year chart. We do look at 20-year or the history of the company's chart. And that's just not available right now for these companies.
Yeah. So, you know, that's some information if you're interested in socially responsive funds, religious funds, black-owned companies. You know, just a different take on investing, because we talk about investing a lot. So we just want to just give people a different take on it. And you can kind of do whatever you want with the information. But, you know, hopefully that shines some light, good and bad, because everything's not going to be a good story.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's just the news is just that we have to just report what it is. And it's not always encouraging, but sometimes you need stuff that's not encouraging to encourage you.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of the information, especially with the black-owned publicly traded company, hopefully somebody listening to this can make it a goal and have their company be the stock that everybody wants to invest in, not just a token company that's on the stock exchange that nobody's invested in that is just going nowhere. But my goal is to have a publicly traded company. My goal is to be bigger than Amazon, bigger than Apple, bigger than Google.
Hey, we need that type of aspiration in our community.
Why not? Somebody got to do it.
Yeah. We make a lot of those companies what they are.
That's a fact.
Can make our own.
That's a fact.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.